that. When it comes to Yerusha, we don't have Gemarot about Yerusha for a Meshuman. But yet, in the time of the Gaonim, this topic became of great interest. Okay, the Gaonim and on, I would say. It became of great interest. So why do you think it would become of great interest in the time of the Gaonim? Any thoughts about that? You don't even know what Meshuman is, but why would it all of a sudden become of interest? What happened in the world in the time of the Gaonim that they wouldn't happen beforehand?
Islam.
So obviously, whatever the Mishnah and Gemara meant when it said the word Meshuman, it could not have meant somebody who was mitaslein, somebody who converted to Islam, because it didn't exist. So suddenly, the Gaonim were faced with a challenge, which is you have Jews who are converting to Islam. What's their halachic status? What do we do with them? Where is their reference to them at all? And Meshumad and the Gemara, it's often, it's Meshumad lit. Meshumad l'chal Shabbos b'efer hesia, Meshumad la'avodazara, Meshumad l'hachiz, Meshumad l'tayavon. Like, what this is, when they talk about, when you, as we'll see, they just use the word meshuma, alone. And trying to figure out the halachic status of the meshuma, became of tantamount importance and a very little direct sources. So here's an example, and we'll start with the really only source that's quoted in this conversation. If you look at page number 2, we have a nice packets. You have packets? Okay, so on page number 2, and I think it was about 12 lines from the bottom. 12 lines from the bottom. So, Amarava. Amarava, Dvar Torah, Ovid Kochavim Yoresh Es Aviv. Okay, so first of all, it's important to know, especially when you're dealing with these Gemaras, that pretty much every single time the Gemara says Oved Kochavim, it's not the right word. I mean, that's a later censor put in the word Oved Kochavim. What is the right word? Okay, so Guy. Guy is the I didn't specifically check the manuscripts for this one, but you can see by the Tshuvas and the Gaonim as well. Pretty much almost everywhere, Oved Kochavim as a noun is really Guy. I mean, the censors took out Guy and they put Oved Kochavim because of the things that are said about the Guyim that, was a little easier for them if it said Oved Kochavim, because they could separate themselves. They're not in Oved Kochavim. So Amar Rava, Dvar Torah, Guy Yoresh is Oved. Dvar Torah, a Guy inherits his father. Shenamra Yechishevim Kaneu. And when it comes to if a Jew was sold to a non-Jew, so the Torah says, you calculate with the owner to try to buy your freedom back. But it's with the owner, it doesn't say below im yarshev kaneu. Mechlal, which comes to imply the isla yarshev. It must be that there's a concept of Yerusha when it comes to God. The guy can inherits. When it comes to the Eved, so that's the one thing where the son of the guy doesn't inherit. That's why you needed the Limud to say that he's excluded from this. Otherwise, he would inherit. That is the position of Rava. That's how you know Dvar Torah guy inherits. If you turn the page to Yudchen Amar Aleph, the Gemara in Kedushin says, Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Guy Yorish is of Dvar Torah, Tichsiv Ki Yerusha Le'esav Nasati, as Har Seir. He quotes a different makor, a different source, for the same concept, that a guy inherits from his father, Midaraisa. How do we know it? Because it says in the Pasuk that I'm giving to Esav Yerusha, I give Har Seir. How does that prove, by the way, that a guy inherits? What would you say? How does it prove that a guy inherits? Who's inheriting from who in this case? Say again?
Esav's children were the
presumption is Esav's not a Jew. Fascinating. So Rabbi's saying Esav's children will inherit from him. Okay, and the assumption is Esav's not a Jew, and then his children inherit from him. Wow, that's fascinating. What is another reading of this? That's fascinating. That was the first thought you had. Is there any other reading of this?
No, I feel like I want to retract.
No, that's great. Say again. Esav's been yorish from who? Yep, yeah, amazing. Okay, so Avram promised. So Avram would go to Yitzchak, and then it would go to Esav. Okay, great. We'll see. That's a major discussion. Kirusha le'Esav nesatias har seir. So the Gemara asks on Reb Chiya bar Avin, Udilma Yisrael. Here, this is the Vilna print, of course. It says Mumer Shani. So Mumer is not the right word either. So it should be Meshumat. The censor also changed Meshumad. Meshumad is, you know, corrupt. Shmad, that's our term for it. So a healthier, a cleaner version of it was Mumar. But the original word is Meshumad. And again, you see it all in the Gonim and Rishonim. But Dilma Yisrael Meshumad Shani. Maybe Yisrael Meshumad is different. What does it mean Yisrael Meshumad is different? Let's take the reading of Avram. Your name is, I'm sorry? Say again?
Elinatan.
So Elinatan said that Avram gives it, Yitzchak gives to Esav. What does it mean? Dilma Yisrael Meshumad Shani? Yeah. So maybe Yisrael, you can't bring a riot to standard. Guy Esav's not Guy, he's Yisrael Meshumad. And therefore, the fact that he inherits doesn't prove anything. So then the Gemara continues, that is really because from a different pasuk that I gave B'nei Lot a Yerusha. And then the Gemara concludes, Rav Chiya bar Avin, my time of Omar Karava. Why doesn't Rav Chiya bar Avin say like Rava, Miksev, Chishavim Kaneo, Vloam Yarshe Kaneo? It doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk that. That's a limud. So he preferred the other source for Rava, my time of Omar Karav Chiya bar Avin, Mishum Kvoda, the Avram Shani. That it doesn't prove Yerusha in general. Everything can be because Kavod Avram, Avhamon Gayim, and that doesn't prove in a regular case. Okay, that is basically the only Gemara where the idea of Meshumad inheriting is mentioned at all. And we're going to see that that becomes subject to a significant debate. Okay, if you turn the page, what you see is a number of pages of Oter Hagonim. Okay, do you generally use the Oter Hagonim? Have you seen the Oter Hagonim? It's a very important work, and it really makes accessible the Gaonic literature. Now, there are other search engines now, of course, but it's so easy because it's on the daf. So, like you look at any others, actually, there's none on Baba Basra. I think a professor... My professor at Hebrew was working on Baba Basra. I don't know if they finished it. Can you put it out, Robert Brody? Put it out? Yeah.
I think it's broken.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on the whole Baba Basra, definitely the first few, probably.
Yeah. Because I remember when I was there, he was like showing the manuscript.
Yeah, I don't think it's Stoklin, but definitely through Cheskas Abad.
He has it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very, it makes it so easy. Because the Chuvot are Naladaf. There are some Perushim that he sometimes brings that, but. Really, the Chuvot he places, you know, when the Gaonim are quoting the Gemarot and Chuvot that come, halachic Chuvot that come. The example that I want to show you here, and really a primary, is Reb Natrunai Gaon. So Reb Natrunai Gaon was a 9th century Gaon from Sura, about, you know, the middle of the 800s, and the 850s, etc. And he was asked the question about, if you look at Ayin Chet for a second, see in Yud Chet Amud Aleph, you have the Gemara is first quoted, and then in the Keta, Ayin Chet, the Reb Natrunai, Husha'altem Meshumad Yorish of Yisrael Olo. You were asked, was Meshumad inherit his father Yisrael or not? Now, that probably wasn't the question. Meaning, there's long questions that they ask the Gaonim. The people who are the people who ask the Gaonim questions? He's sitting in Surah. you know, and the questions are coming from all over the world. And they send them questions, and they send them back. But they send them back the answers, and then it goes to a place, and then they write it over. I mean, everybody's copying the answers because they wanted to they want to spread, like, want the whole world of Torah to know the answers. So they would get the questions, they'd wait for the Yarchei Kala, they'd talk about it to the yeshiva perhaps, they'd write their answers, they'd send the answer back, and along the way, the answer would be copied down by other people. That's why one of the big mitzvahs that we have is the Cairo Geniza. Because Cairo was one of the stops that they would get to get to North Africa, when they would send the answers back. So there are a lot of things there. Even questions didn't come out of Fustat, of Cairo. There's still a lot of stuff there because they would copy it. But they wouldn't copy everything, they'd copy the answers and they'd summarize the questions perhaps. So the question is, we don't have the question. The question could have been a, you know, deep, you know, personal with names and stories. But and the question we have is very, you know, is Meshumah Yorish's father or not? And what you see, if you look at in this, if we had much longer time, I'd have you do this ahead of time, break down this, not just break down the tshuva, but in these ketahim, where is the tshuva? So if you look at Ayin Tet, you have, you know, in little letters, something of a tshuva. If you look at Pei, you have a paragraph of a tshuva. Pei Aleph, we're going to see in a moment, is a response to the tshuva. If you turn the page, Pei Bet is the tshuva in probably the closest to its makor, its source. Right next to Pei Bet, there's a little letters that says, Rabbeinu Hai. Because apparently this tshuva was also recorded from Rabbeinu Hai. And if you turn the page to Pei Gimel, you have another response to the tshuva. We'll talk about that. And if you go to Pei Dalid, you start seeing this tshuva, the same tshuva recorded in the name of later Rishonim. So it takes a little bit just to understand, like follow it a bit. Like, where's the Iker, where's the, you know, what's the Makar, where's it from? You follow, obviously, in the footnotes, and you can see what each of the sources are. But, so it requires a little bit of work, but not, it's not too complicated. For our purposes, I'm going to even make it more simple. Turn to page 10. So on page 10, so this professor I was just talking about, Robert Brody, really gone atzum. I mean, atzum, like the Baki Shas, Gonim and Rishonim, his specialty is the Gonim. I was zocha to sit in his shir for years. After I, what happened is when I made Aliyah, so I left the Jewish Center, I was the rabbi of the Jewish Center, and then I went to Israel, and I learned for years afterwards. I stayed in the Hebrew University Library. I wrote my doctorate, which is actually on a different topic, and spent another, you know, good like 5 years learning in learning this, the Gaon and Rishonim, and hearing shir from Robert Brody, who's one of them, who's really, really spectacular. Simcha Emanuel, who just retired. These are real bekiyim in the girsot of the Rishonim and the context, what's on the bookshelves of the Rishonim. So it was really amazing years. So he put together his doctorate is on Rav Netronai Gaon. So he has the sefer. It's even more simple, even after the Otar Gonim, that he collects all, gives you the his thoughts about the Makar, about what's the original or closest to original text, and makes it all very clear. So let's look at Rav Netronai's answer to Sha'alta Meshumad Iyorish at the Abi Yisrael Olo. Do I have any brave souls who want to read Rav Netronai Gaon's Tshuva without ever seeing it once before? Please. So, and read through, we could do is skip the parentheses, but read the brackets. think that's.
My time, the Kevin de Stamidly, nothing being Kedusha de Israel, and the Kedusha de Avua.
Oh, so let's pause for a second. That's pretty. A lot of things just happened here. Let's start from the beginning. Anything strange at the beginning? Kacharuna min Hashemayim. So did something special happen here? Kacharuna min Hashemayim. So this is, for Rav Netrunai, this is a language he uses in many of his tshuvot. And that's true, by the way. This is, every time we learn, it's Kacharuna min Hashemayim. Right? And so I don't know how to tell them that they really got them. Okay. So Kacharuna min Hashemayim. Okay, that's his, it's a common parlance when he writes Shuvah. So what is he saying? This is an important statement that he's saying. That what?
That he's lost his Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore doesn't get a Kedusha. And the Kedusha of his father.
Yeah. So Meshumah doesn't Yorish his father Yisrael, because once he's Mishtamed, he's Yatzef from Kedusha Yisrael, Kedusha Abua. Okay, again,
unbelievable.
Okay, this is amazing. So he brings this great drasha. Are you familiar with this drasha? Right? Who wrote this drasha? He did. And it's a great thought piece. Like when, like the Talmud was closed, but are drashas closed? Are you allowed to make drushes from Sukkim to formulate halacha? So he clearly thought they could. When did that end? Like, it wasn't the Stima Satalmud. Like, making drushes on Sukkim for halacha, meaning there's nothing in the, you know, he's looking, he knows all of Shas, he knows everything. Nothing's in there. So he's finding the answer from the Sukkim. Okay, it's good. And what is his answer? How do we know that we lose this Yatza Megdusha Megdusha Avua? Yeah.
Well, this is not an entirely fabricated drasha. The sense of it's not as if he is completely coming up with a new reading of Pesukim. He's borrowing a very similar reading of Pesukim that we find elsewhere in Shas, applying it to a new place. So while it certainly says something about the authority given over to the post Talmudic drashas, it might not be as ambitious a chiddush as it might have been.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's making up a gzeirah shavah.
Or even gzeirah shavah, making the concept that he's drawing on is found in Shas.
Yeah, what concept is found in Shas? Are you referring to
Zerah Kosher?
Tosis does not employ it in the same sense of building a drasha out of it, but Tosis talks about Zerah Kosher as being a principle used to explain other Gemaras. And so
Zerah Kosher is not Shumud, Zerah Kosher is Mamzer. That's the meaning, it's a totally different application of the principle.
Tosis uses it as a sense of Misham Yuchasafra, that Zerah means Zerah Kosher in that sense.
Right, because Zerah Kosher.
But the Tosis isn't limited to specifically yichus issues. It says Zera means Zera Kosher, Mishum Yisafra. The halachic case is Mamzer. It doesn't say Zera means Zera Lafuge Mamzer. It means Zera in general means Mishum Yisafra.
Right. Rav Shnai is trying to expand the Hagdara of what's considered Zera Kosher, piece of the Pasuk of Bereishis.
100%. That's the Chiddush. But I think that's radically different than had the Rav Shnai just found the word Zera and decided that Zera means Mishum Yisafra. I think it's important to note that he's expanding the drasha, which is much different than inventing the drasha.
Okay.
Now, maybe because of many other instances where in which there's a lot more of the drasha ambition and Midrashic creativity, but I think we'll talk about
towards the end. This all emerges from the Hashkafas HaTorah, meaning it's not
right.
It's not coming from not.
That's
so it all emerges from that, and that's actually, as we'll talk about later on, that's really when he's reading the Psukim, this is what he's seeing. I mean, it's probably for him is the pshat of the Psukim.
I mean, yes, but the Rishu Rav, with the many of that, that's all the time we say for Al Aher, in which he'll take a concept and use it to read something new into the Psukim. There are all examples before, this most explicitly, the Rabbi Nazov does that as well, the Tzav Kabbalah does it. Like, that type of drushes where you take a concept and you read it into a puzzle, they're working with ready established halacha generally.
Right.
Rishu Rav, not. So much
well, that's really the point. Then you have a time of the Gaonim, and afterwards you find it in the Rishonim too, where you have not, you have no sources straight from the Torah Shebaal Peh that talk about Meshumad inheriting, and specifically these cases of Meshumad, which never existed before.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger Kaddish, it's a halacha, not the being Sukkim. The Meshumad halacha is where you see a huge Kaddish when you're dealing with whether Meshumad is considered a full Yishu Yisrael.
Okay, it's something to think about like what a drasha means, and what is, what's authority, halachic authority, making drashos, not. I think it's a great question. It's a great topic to explore. Here, so Misha Zara Miyuchas Achar of Yatza Meshumad She'ein Mityachas Achar of Yisrael. Okay, it says Yatza Zeh because it says Lazarecha Achrecha. And by the way, just because you mentioned the concept of Zera Kasher is starting from early is a fascinating one, and is great itself is a great history. You know, from Ezra Nehemiah on, and that's a whole other meaning where the Gaonim, how they were influenced with that phrase is a good question. I don't know what the full answer to that, but there's a great history of that. Okay, so let's keep on going. Good.
Mishum matzino b'Avraham Avinu k'sha'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ado atider ki der yezaracha af al pi shehayu lo yishma v'yitzchak lo parachovo el yitzchak שנאמר כי ויסחק יקרא לחזר. וכשבא יצחק, אף על פי שהיו לו עשיו ויעקב, או פרחובו אל יעקב, ונכנס למצרים. וכן לירושה, אינו יורש אלא זרוש ומסחקיס אחרו, ונקריס משפחס אביו על שמו. ומשומן מסברס נחלו ומאומה, ואינו סיפי.
Okay, so many, many things he's saying over here. So first, the lineage of obviously the Torah picking one and excluding the other, proving his point of or Eino Yorish El Zara Shu Mityaches Acharav, and then the idea of Mishpachas Aviv Al Shemo. Let's keep that in mind, and then Meshuvin Mitaver Nacha Meuma LeUma. That's really important. What do you make of that? Meshuvin is Mitaver Nacha Meuma LeUma. Pretty important. Yeah.
It sounds like he is saying, there's a discussion of the Shulman, but he sounds like he's saying that Shulman really has the skin of an Akko.
Oh.
And when there's the Shulman, I think now Bronin discussed whether the Shulman would be kind of evil, or I think it was Khalid's case. It sounds like from this Mitranaigon that it's not just that this person, we'd say he's mukka from any type of position he's got. What if he has children? He marries a Jewish woman who has children, and their children are mitzvahs.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Mishra Naigon is saying that a person can sort of opt out of the religion.
That would be a very powerful thing to say. So we're going to have to explore the Trinai's Shita, but certainly there's the whole conversation of the Shumad Kigai does resonate in these tshuva, meaning when the Gemara talks about it, the Gemara talks about it in a very specific context. It talks about it for Eruv, Yayin Esech, and there are other Gemarot that would be a very large discussion. Happy to have a series of shiurim with you and we can talk about it. But that is definitely one of the things we're going to be wrestling with here, is to what extent, what is the status of Meshumah? Has he me'uma le'uma? Is he no longer part of Knesset Yisrael? Like, what's his status? So, and you mentioned other dinim, you mentioned Yibum. Right? There are obviously a lot of things. I mean, this is Yerusha. What other issues will come up? I mean, everything will come up. What other issues? Okay, Rebus. Yeah, I mean, so a lot of issues will come up. So, and the Gaonim had to wrestle with all of them, and then the Rishonim did as well. And with, again, you know, in this new context of Islam, and then afterwards we'll see Christianity, and then a new sim, like there's a whole context of what's, yeah.
So also, it's hard to tell how much he really, really means that phrase, but if he really means it, then he's kind of shifting from the reason why Meshumah's not Yorish as a corruption of the individual relationship between the father and the son.
Nice.
To more of like a result-oriented mahalas where, you know, comparable to Hasada's Nachla.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, like, Mitaveret Nachla is definitely a concept found in our Mesorah. So, meaning this is, everything is, you know, close. And to what extent is it fundamental? To what extent does he have practical concern? We'll see shortly. But this is, these are amazing statements about Meshumah. That, I mean, Yatza Mikdushi Yisra Mikdusha Davua. Yatza Mikdushi Yisra, that's pretty, Mikdusha Davua, that's a pretty serious statement. Yeah.
That's one other thing.
Yeah, everything is this, he's putting back in. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, Rob.
Is it fair to say that the emphasis of Rosh Hashanah is not necessarily about, he makes no mention of Avodah Zarah, about what type of religion the person is joining at all? He says it's the Yichus to Yisrael that really matters ultimately. So is it possible that for him, I know this is a hot button issue, but Brother Daniel asks Shaila, whether somebody still is Mizachis to Yisrael but proudly worships Avodah Zarah. Is that even what Rosh Hashanah is talking about? It sounds like the Umma Acheres is opting out of the Yichus of Klai Yisrael.
Right, the Umma, not the... it's true. He doesn't mention Avodah Zarah, and the issue of the status of Islam with Avodah Zarah is much more complicated than probably is understood today. And one of the reasons it's more complicated is because we live in a post-Rambam world, also a post-Rashi world. The Rambam said that Islam wasn't Avodah Zarah, so people assume that Islam is not Avodah Zarah. The Gaonim did not agree with, they lived before the Rambam. They thought that issue was more complicated to them. They did not see it. Not all of them saw it as clearly as the Rambam said it. But after the Rambam says something, often after Rashi says something, meaning it's, that's what's so interesting about going back. You could actually, like, oh, that was actually an open question. And the status of Islam and Avodah Zarah was, at this time, was very much an open question. And that's a whole other semester, and we could have a whole series of shiurim about the status of Islam and halacha. That's a very interesting. And which halachas? I mean, that's really the question of all this. Like you said, Brother Daniel, this Rabbi Mori, or Moreno Verabenu, Rabbi Lichtenstein, itself said it's for what, you know, and that goes to your issue when you talk about leaving the, you know, for what halacha. Everything is halacha, so for what halacha, you know, or series of halacha. Okay, continue, please.
And Tomar Ad Amr Mithim Bar Avin Amr Yochanan Goy Yorish Es Aviv Dvar Torah Hasem Hachin Karminan Goy Yorish Es Aviv
Goy
Dvar Torah Shneamar Kirushal Isav Nasati Sr Seir. Bahakin Pirish Mar of Tsadar Gonzal, Bamrali Bibisifta. Dilma Asav of Yisrael, maybe you'd even save his father Israel, Amarlu, Ihar Seir the Yitzchakava Bayar Seisov Kidam Rosin. Hashta Dilab the Yitzchakava, The RCA is not Yisrael's Chachim Kamar, Kirush Leisav, Leor Sinu, Mebnei Goyim.
Like Rabbi said. That was the Chiddush of Rav Tzadok Gaon. Let's keep on going, I'll go back to it.
Don't be shiny, is it Yisrael Meshubit Hava? Me Arsin Lebnei. Alo Goy Gomer Imalach, Alo Yarsin Lebnei. Ali Hacha, Kilav Neilod, Nesatia Yerusha, Leor Sinu, Lebnei.
Right. Okay. So let's go back a little and explain. This is very unusual in the Gaonim. So it's actually if you really put yourself back in this, it's unbelievable. So he's quoting somebody. Who's he quoting? Rav Tzadok Gaon. So it's rare in Tshuvot of Gaonim for them to self reference, to quote an earlier Gaon. In this case, Rav Netranai quotes Rav Tzadok a few times in his Tshuvot. Rav Tzadok Gaon lived at the beginning of the 9th century. So this is like about 50 years earlier. It could be that he was there. I mean, it depends how old, I don't know. But, or, really more interestingly, is that this was the Masorah. And it records a conversation. Like in Surah, this was the Masorah that Rav Tzadok said this, where Amarle b'mesifta, and the yeshiva said back. And they had a sichsuch, or a dialogue. And I'm trying to understand the Gemara in Kedushin. And you're back in Surah, you're sitting in Surah, and Rav Tzadok is giving shir, and they're pushing back, and he's answering, and then it's part of their Masorah to record the conversation. Now, that itself, the whole oral tradition of, not just the oral tradition of the Gemara, but which is also the back and forth in the Beis Medrash, but the oral tradition of what happens in Surah 50 years before. Okay, so he's quoting Rav Tzadok, and what happens is Rav Tzadok said that Gemara, that's not a problem for the Shita, that a Meshumad won't inherit his father. Now the question is, it could be a problem, because there the Gemara could imply that a Meshumad doesn't inherit his father. And they said, no, it's not talking about Meshumad at all inheriting. That Gemara is talking about being Morish, not being Yorish. It's talking about a Meshumad who's being Morish to his children. And that is the and that's Esav. And that's, as Rabbi said, the Gemara. And the Masifta, this has happened 1,300 years ago. So like your conversation, they said back to him, they said, that's not true. It's the father was Yisrael. He was a Meshuman. And the question in the Gemara is, does a Yisrael Meshuman inherit or not? So Amar Lahu, he said back to them, what are you talking about? Was Har Seir Yitzchak's that Esav inherited? How could it be that the Gemara is saying Esav is the Meshumad inheriting? Was Har Seir Yitzchak's to give to Esav? Gida Martin, like you said, Hashta Delav the Yitzchak HaBiachin, since it wasn't Yitzchak, this is what the Gemara says, Ki Rushal Esav La'ar Tinun, to be Morish L'Bnei HaGayim. Ukamrina, then the answer, maybe Esav is different because he's Yisrael Meshuma, so he can be Morish. But a Goy Gamor, Eim Lecha Deloyar Tele B'nai, you have no proof from that. So they bring another Gemara from B'nai Lo. So this is the back and forth between Rav Tzadok and the Yeshiva. What's the implications of the Gemara about Yisrael Meshuma, if he can inherit or not? So let's keep on going. Va'amru Kame. So they, meaning the Masifta, Yeshiva, said to Rav Tzadok now. This is and this is Rav Netranai quoting this Masorah in Surah about what happened in the Beis Medrash when Rav Tzadok gave Shir. So it continues. Go
ahead.
Oh, what's the question?
Why would the Gemara talk about
that? Well, who's in charge of the Goyim? Why would it matter? According to your parish, it's Goy, Yorish, the son of Goy. Why would that matter?
Because
are we now in charge of the guy? Would they even talk about that? So go ahead.
Ki kaminon goy yorish es avim goy dvar Torah nechayim Yisrael la'adur la'him ovo pikadon le'yarsha da'o goy. He has to return to the yarsha. Vi aminon goy eno yorish es avim goy tavi kinif se'eger ve'kaninon ovo bar Yisrael lo mechayim la'adur le'yarsha. He doesn't need to get back to anyone. Ve'chein yichid eshavik goy nechsei v'achziku bon Yisrael vi aminon goy eno yorish es avim goy tavi kinif se'eger ve'kol ha'masim ezachavim. After the kaim alone, the guy no reach is out of the guy. Yair Sloan is born mishum Gaza. The kabur rabban the
They accepted. Okay, there are nafkaminas, clear nafkaminas. Okay, and let's get to the conclusion. Maficha, and the conclusion is really the out of everything we just said. This is probably the strongest point to highlight his position.
Maficha hamal ves chaveru v'nishtamid va'achir kach meis aviv shomer shomer.
And this might have been the question, by the way. I mean, keep in mind, we didn't know what the question really was. So again.
Ein nifra Yisrael lo v'shalom mamon sheniach Yisrael aviv shal meshumad v'mishinu yorish meshumad as Yisrael aviv v'orchid Yisrael al ha-meshumad.
So what's the case? What could have been the case the whole time? Brothers, they're splitting up the Yerusha. If you take it from him, is that profiting from Gzela? So why is that so important as a point, a poignant moment in this tshuva? Because what is it really showing? Because he had this question the whole time.
Until now, the conversation has been, does the Yeshua lose his rights?
Right.
Now the Yisrael is going to lose
his rights. Exactly.
And this guy is...
Exactly. Yeshua. It's not just lahachnir, you know. I mean, you're losing. So is it meaning it's a real conceptual point? This is why I thought Reb Rosen would like this. It's a real conceptual point. It's not a practical, you know, like the mitzaveret meuma leuma is not a practical. You know, that's what we're worried about. He's saying something here about zerakasha. He's making a real statement about what does it mean to be mityachas acharavia, about kedusha da'avua. Like, it's a real statement, and it's a statement with history, because this question already in the beginning of the 9th century they're talking about this, and they really had to deal with this. These were the questions that were coming up that they weren't finding in the Gemara. Okay, but not everybody agreed with Rav Nachman. So if you look back at the Otzer Agonin, let me just show you two tshuvot in response. Let's look at, let's start with Pei Gimel and page 6. Let's start with Pei Gimel and page 6. So, Hachin Chazinan. Hada Amar Ashachan Delo Abirusha El Bar Yisrael Demetiaches Baser Avua Lesa. The fact that he's responding to the Trinai Gaon, we don't know who this is. It's an anonymous Gaonic tshuva. We don't know who it is, but he's clearly responding to Rav Netranai's tshuva, which we'll see became very well known. Rav Netranai's this tshuva of Rav Netranai spread, and it spread not just in that tkufa; it spread in the history. As we'll see. So he says, Lesa, it's not true. V'lo ashkechinen ha-milsa. U'dichsiv ezarecha achrecha v'lo garminim nal Yerusha da'alma. But we don't learn anything from ezarecha achrecha. I don't know what that drasha that he said, that's not anything that we learn from to Yerusha. V'adam rechir ba'aba amar av yochanan gai yorish av dvar Torah. V'adai gai yorish is av gai kamar. Releka this tepukle hamilsa, the ahi the baba Kayama, the Magar Yorsa of the Vartor Shem Vechishev im Kineo Velo im Yarshe Kineo, Avau Avgai, Varmin and Rabba, my time, Elo Amakrabi Chio, Mafarshi Latamein. Remember, the whole Gemara is time of Gai being Yoresh Gai. And that's not a big deal. Uperusha the Naktine Rabban and the Amr of Chia Barabba, Gai Yorsa of the Vartor, Ben Yisrael Ben Gai, Umehacha Kamacha Yadimli Yisrael Mashumat Shani, Shu Yorsa of Yisrael. Aval irko gai ema de lo yard, va afka min kilav nelot nesati rush and nelot gayim habe. Gayim habe. Uperusha din akita rabbanon, I'm sorry, he accepts the perish that the rabbanon, meaning the ones arguing with Rav Tzadok said. Uda amar mar of Natranai Mishmei de mar of Kohen Tzedek, tachi kamar, kirusha esavav di yard to me, it's like. El Deshavil Esav La Areta La Benei Agayim, as Rabbi said. Udaakshi Dilma Yisrael Meshumat Shani. Dilma Yisrael Meshumat Marat Benei Agayim. Rachoku. That's no offense, Rabbi, that's Rachoku. Vafuke La Memer Min Pashta. Delav Pashte Hache. Udaamar I Harseir Di Yitzchak Havi? Can that run? Like, is Harseir Yitzchak's to be Morish? Mi emar delo shav rachmanik he delay who art the Esav, who says Hashem didn't make it his to be morish to Esav, and we'll see later on the Rishonim they say explicitly that Hashem gave it to Avram to descend down. Vod akamer le Yitzchak leisa the name of Shmanei Haaretz yei moshavecha. So Yitzchak gave Esav a lot of things. Vod afilo marti glamer of Netzunai lo kamar shani Yisrael meshumel leviyusa el shani lemal yusa. Anyway. If you're proving for that Gemara of the Yisrael Meshumad, it was saying Yisrael Meshumad is a reason to inherit. The Gemara was talking about that a guy is trying to prove a guy can inherit, and said you can't prove that a guy inherits. Maybe that's Yisrael Meshumad he inherit. That makes Yisrael Meshumad better, not worse. The chivan tichsiv ish ki amusu ben ein lo da'ama im yesh ben kodem utnan a benes avav nochil umanchil. Leslan the Shnuyim in Meshumad Lakasha, El Kadimer Val Kalomer, El Psik Sebatani Loshna Kasha Loshna Meshumad. There's no difference between them. Right? The Pshat of the Torah, Ben Enlo, it's all no Zera Kasha, nothing. There's no difference between them. I want to add to keep that in mind. Look at Pei Aleph. So Pei Aleph is a continuation of a response, but it adds more. So in Pei Aleph, Ushalta Metzina Lamar Netrunai, Chuvazu, Kacharunim in Hashemayim, go to Hakin Chazina, the three lines from the bottom. Hakin Chazina, the Ashkasei, the law of Yerusha, and the Baisrol, the Sakas Basravua, Lessa. Oachachina, Milsa, the Chsiv Zarecha, Kracha, like Marinimine, Yerusha, Stahoma. So that's what we just saw already. Lessa, the Shnui, and Ben Meshum, and the Kasher. Ella, can you remember the pasuk? Uksiv v'tani loshna kash loshna meshumad yoresh is avid. Okay, that's the end of the tshuva that we already saw. But in this version, there's more lines to it. Look at these additions. Avohani muzliman ki bedat Yishmael. The inan lo mortin le meshuma nichse aviv, smiche rabbanin le minna merushas aviv, mahadetanya ieta yachol zakoto bedine gayim, zecho va'amr lo kach v'kach dinchem. What's going on over here?
From Islam isn't Yerush from his father, away from. So we should play by their rules if need be and apply the same standards.
Yeah. So he said the Muslims, one second, and the Muslim converted to Judaism and they went to court, the Muslim court would not give the Jew, the convert, the Yerusha. And What is kach v'kach dinkan? You guys know where that from? Where's kach v'kach dinkan? So, and Baba Kama. Say again. Oh, goals of Asri, you said, Yifeh. So, it's talking about, what is the Gemara talking about? Who's coming? Who are the two people coming to court? Yisrael and a guy. Yisrael and a guy are coming to court. Okay, which, you know, happened. And there, Beis Din is allowed to say, kach dinichem, you know what? We could either use the Torah side or not. Actually, it's Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, etc. But that itself is interesting. But how does this apply over here? Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can have a shiloh whether you're down to being something about this year. It's a huge chiddush to say that it even begins to be a
thing. Right.
Presumably, Kapit Dine Yisrael, the year happened already.
Right. That's a great point. Right. Okay. So, amazing that this is, but this is the conversation that's happened. So, Rav Netronai, quoting Rav Tzadok, is saying, Meshuma doesn't inherit. Anonymous Gonik Tshuva says, Vadai bin Torah, Meshuma inherits, Vadai. But, you know what? The Muslims, if the shoe was around, if the shoe was on the other foot, the fine convert would inherit. So let's say, Kach Dinchem, and we're not going to allow him to, we won't have him inherit. Okay, so those are the two Gaonic positions that, let's say, emerge. Those are the primary positions. I'll go a little quicker just to show you what happened afterwards. So if you look at Rav Haigon afterwards, is Rav Hai, I have it on page 12. You know, I'll just say it outside, or maybe just go to page 13. So Rav Haigon goes through the whole Dion, and Rav Haigon lived, you know, late 10th century, early 11th century, you know, passing in like 1038. He's the last of the Gaonim of Pumbedisa. So he sides with the anonymous Gaonim and says, Yisrael Meshuma Deraisa, there's no difference in Nachlot, Ivadai inherits. And some suggest that maybe it was a Machlokas Surah Pumbedisa. Could be that Surah thought that they didn't inherit, and that's Rav Tzadok, Rav Netronai, Rav Hai, Vadai thought that they did inherit. And then, what was accepted in Sfarad, because this is the chain that went up to Sfarad, meaning from Rav Hai, Rabbeinu Hanano, Rav Nisim, the Rif, Rimagash, Rambam. So if you look at, I just put this together quickly, look at page 14. So the Rif, and Tshuva more recently found and published, Shem Shuman Bar Yerusha Hu Midivrei Torah, Shem Shamdus Lopakru Mimenu Ol Torah, Aleim Kidesh Kedushin, we'll talk about that, Vein Yotzi Menu Ela Beget, V'zeh She'ein Dana Lo Achshav B'Yerusha Al Derech Knas She'Konsin Oso. It's really, we actually don't allow a Meshuman to inherit, but it's just a Knas. And look at his explanation. Exactly. And that's why it's hard to sometimes know in formulations. And that's why the positions, the halachic positions are really key. Not to downplay the importance of formulations, of course. Chas v'shalom. But the halachic positions of, for example, of that it go, and Rav Netzer and I go, that it even goes even if it hurts Yisrael, is the nafkamina. Meaning, for the anonymous Gaon and on, you know, Rav Hai, Rith, etc., they're also not giving the Meshumad to inherit. But it's a knas. And the idea of, you know, we're just turning the other foot on the Muslims isn't, you know, really the din of Kachtin Chem, but, you know, is more maybe rhetorical a little bit, you know, but it's, but, you know, we're happy about this. Yeah, Rob.
That would be a tremendous chiddush. Where's the knas coming from? Who has the power to invoke such a knas?
So, yeah.
Again, I don't know historically when this Psak of the Rif began, but Chora Lach Achar Smicha. So it'd be a big chiddush to be invoking a brand new knas.
Right. The word knas, right. The word knas is probably, that's a really interesting point about knas and the Gaonim. That's an interesting point. But in this case, the word knas is probably hefker bez and hefker. But it is an interesting point about knas and chavala. And like that's there's a couple of pillar takanot of the Gaonim. And knas is an interesting smicha. That's one of one thing that is a large topic. Yeah.
What was the Rif say about Shubha?
Right.
I
don't know what the Rif would say. We can see what the Rishonim said, because we're going to shift to Europe in a moment. I mean, right now we're still in Islamic lands. But I'll shift the conversation. We'll show it quickly. But I just wanted you to know that I've been looking at that clock, so we haven't moved since the beginning of the show. So I'm good. Like, that's what I'm assuming. Exactly. That's why I was starting. I said, given we're here for 2.5 hours, if I lend you out. Oh, yeah, that's it. Okay.
You're assuming our high God doesn't distinguish between Morish and Yorish, Shema?
Yeah. No, so that, I think, the question of, you mean, Rebbe thinks that Morish is, meaning if Yorish does inherit, Rebbe thinks that Morish is more of a reason not to inherit?
No.
Right. I didn't think so.
The other way.
The other way.
You know, Yorish Yisrael can very possibly has legitimate rights to the Yerusha of the Meshumah. Mm-hmm. That's different than the Meshumah having the right of Yerusha from the Yisrael Kosher.
So his case is...
His case is that the Meshumah died.
Oh, that's the case then? Maybe I didn't read it carefully enough. His case is the Meshumah died?
I think so.
Let's go check.
But it is another
chuba
for many reasons.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the cases that comes up...
Bais from the Shumah did not think Yidei Al-Meonais.
Yeah.
The Islayarsi Yisrael, Yasi Inchi Yahasi, did not say. The question is, does the Yisrael Kosher have rights to the property? And here he's discussing, right, not the right of the Meshumah to be Yorish, but the status...
Yeah.
But the Meshumah's was Yotze, that's no longer his father, he's no longer. It's interesting because he's in the court of those Eruvim.
So this She'ela, so let's read the Tshuva together. I'll make sure I'm, which starts by like the dashes. Now I'm not sure that I'm remembering correctly, so let's read it together. So if you look back, page number 12 in Siman Yutet. So the Sheila is an amazing Sheila, because I think there are two places where you see the earliest that I've seen of this split, of some type of fundamental split in Dinah. Like in one place. There's Rasaj Yigon, who has that. And this Sheila, whoever's asking the question, is like asking like a real chacham. You know, I don't know who's asking. But when he starts the answer by the two, Hachin Chazin and Yisrael Meshumat Shemes, Lo Avi Nichse Hefker, Omisha Zacha Behem, Lo Zacha Beklum, El Yotze Erecha Rael Yerushal Mishpachta Oben Meshumahu, Oben Yisrael Hu Yaretzlai. Right, that's his Rebbe's talking about. It's a case of being Morish. Vi Machzik Nuchrai B'midayim, Motzino So Miado, Delo Amur Rabbanan Ki Emilsa, El Beger Bovad. the less leizari sharasa b'kedusha.
Children of a ger are both.
Yeah. Damrinan gershin is ger kachin shalom dami. Vama rabbana lin yerusha as b'chul. Vehechi demes gai veisle bra gai yarisle v'machni Yisrael b'nichse the gai. Misname otino so miado, because a guy inherits guy midaraisa. Viavinale le guy bray the misname. Vafil hava shehova adam min hagai. Chayav lachzir le benai guy. Lo patriachmana elamidin abdus bilachud. Lo machayav lashtabude le bray the guy. It's not a nirtsa of animical le guy. Eno ovid loas bem loas bas. Bar machisid amarka vachishim kanea. Lo am yarshe kanea. Lachal the guy is le yarshim. But, and this also is in Shibai. But lesa l'dabaye, da omar aflin in nachlas ein av l'gai. Which, I don't know where that sheet is from. I was just looking at the footnote. You didn't know either. That's like a new, I don't know where that's from. Maybe Rebbe does. Hashta im gai yorish is a gai mishumad. Yorish is a mishumad lo kol shikain. What is Rebbe think of that? Hashem gai yorish is a gai mishumad. As I have said, gai yorish is a gai. Mishumad yorish is a mishumad lo kol shekin. But I forgot the gara to gai with every soul from yorish from Jalas Nechayis. Of Yisrael, the Meshumah the Reis who's lo shanim kol nachlas da'alma.
Yisrael, kosher Yisrael being yorish, the Meshumah is not different than the other nachlas.
So you think it's being
yorish? He's not mavir to another thing. He has kedushas Yisrael. The question is whether if there's an expression of kedushas Yisrael, and again, especially if you say that the goy, of course, if the idea is that the Meshumah is being galagamri. A nachri, so then it's the equivalent of ger, or even more so. But anyways, this is always this dialectic which all the Rishonim are toying with,
yeah.
You know, which is well, it's been chalik between different. Either to take the absolute position of just machmir, but really, Yisrael afa b'shachat Yisrael, and that's an exaggeration of that. Or to say that, you know, it depends whether you're talking about yichus, you're talking about kedushas Yisrael, shame Yisrael, all those kind
right.
of distinctions. So it sounds like he is saying that to be a Yorish, you know, that depends on the status of the Yisrael, of the Yorish,
but you see, Av Yisrael at the Meshuma, the Reis of the Loshan, the Klanach, the Alma,
Yisrael, Yisrael, the Yorish, a Meshuma that works with the Reis, the Loshan, the Klanach, the Alma, his father is a Meshuma, his Kedushas Yisrael is not the issue.
Right.
You don't need full, can we say full, or you know, across the board, Kedushas Yisrael for the Moish, right? That you need it for the even a lot of the Psukim, and even a lot of the other Toros,
so
zero in on the Yoresh.
So right. So just make sure everybody's following the. What Rabbi Rosenberg is suggesting is that there's a chiluk between the Yorish and the Amorish. Meaning, Rav Haigon is talking about in this tshuva that if the Morish was a Meshumad,
right.
So the Yisrael, the son, can still inherit.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that if the Yisrael, if the child was a Meshumad, that he inherits.
Correct.
Okay, amazing. That's why I come here. Is with the
what about
so I would say, but let's let I want and by the way, also just to continue Rebbe's, I mean that's the distinction Rav Hai, which I didn't realize in Rav Hai. Also, the relationships that we're talking about is the relationship of the father and son, the same as other heirs. You know, so for example,
but also the earlier part. All focuses on the fact that he's not the father, you know, the Shulman is not Wolfgang Lagamer in the Kedushas Yisrael.
And his, and Rav Hai.
Yeah, I mean, the Raya is, Mishum Dominic Yisrael, Mishum Shabbat, so this big old called Torah. Mino mino ani mino lino nisuro yedo lino pito lino til tshuasho. Lino mamon lomisho lino God. So chayas, those are all focused. There's no absolute of this type of gods. He's not a guy.
Right.
For all things.
Right.
And therefore, Yisrael, Kasher, Beno, he doesn't, not just because this is good and that is bad.
Right.
I don't think it's that agree that's not it at all.
Right.
But it's a different
yeah. thing. So I'm going to show them just the Masorah of how it developed, and then get back to the nuanced, you know, position of what exactly does it mean, because obviously he's not really Yetzah, as we'll see, Rav Netranan himself says he's not Yetzah Kedusha in a total way. But the interesting, the split between Yorish and Morish is fascinating. And also, I don't think we'll have time to get to this, but Baal and Isha versus Av and Ben, And all of these Morish Yorish connections, you know, emerges all in these conversations because it all happens.
Right.
You know, they all have to deal with it.
And also, in general, the extent to which Nachla in general is Yerusha or it's Harusha.
Right.
Is certainly an aspect of this.
Wow. Can Rebbe say that one more time? Wow.
Yeah.
The difference between Nachla being Yerusha versus Harusha?
Yeah, in general. In other words, what is really the. How do you look at Yerusha in general? Is it the koach of the Yorish? Is it a din in the Yorish or a din in the Morish?
That's
a general issue. And there could be different models of Yerusha.
Meaning the Barakra Davua stuff, where you're saying
sure.
even more? Yeah,
so,
right,
so.
Right.
But
right.
In general, right, how much is it?
Right.
Really, you know, these are two ways of saying the same thing. Or
right.
Are they different in this case, which is dominant, or is that breakdown into different?
Right.
There's a lot of
I could spend my whole day learning. How do you have this chus to like just sit here? It's like unbelievable. Okay, that's amazing. The difference between the Yorish and Morish beyond the Brakar, the way you're saying is, yeah.
Maybe he's been commenting a little more in this couple room than
that's amazing. Yeah.
So maybe he's been commenting more.
Say again?
In the beginning that you mentioned, even the Yorish is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rebbe is saying that on four lines from the bottom.
What's that?
Is that not talking about the?
That's if the Morish is a Meshuman, then he says if the Morish is a Meshuman. And regardless of whether the son is a Meshuman or Yisrael, he's Yorish. The Chiluk might stand only if the Morish is a Yisrael and the son is a Meshuman. But if the father is a Meshuman, then
yeah.
He says here it's clear that the Meshuman, that the son Meshuman also is Yorish.
So here they're saying that by in the beginning of his answer, now Hachin Chazina the Yisrael Meshuman Shemes. Meaning that he's the Morish here, the Yisrael Meshuman. Lo avi nichsei hefker, misha zachmam lo zacha b'klum.
Obey Meshuman, obey Yisrael, who means
the Morish,
the father.
That's what Rabbi's saying, it means the father.
I don't think it means that a son Meshuman, it doesn't matter.
No, because it says, misha zachmam lo zacha b'klum, ela yotze yirecho haroi the Yorish
who yours
the yotze yirecho are Yorish, and who are they?
Whoever the you know, being Meshuman who being Yisrael, whether the father is
the father,
yeah, pashtus. That's not even awkward. I don't think that's even an awkward.
So, but definitely,
unless you want to get like a you know, just like there's b'chor ben b'chor going to the b'hag.
Yeah,
it was like Meshuman ben Meshuman.
Yeah. By the way, I was
exciting about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were true, that I mean,
it would be
if it were true, the chiluk would be well, on that side and also on the other side.
No, I understand. But I say it would be a meshuman, but a meshuman would be yoreish. Also, even if a meshuman ben Yisrael wouldn't,
right.
even though a Yisrael ben meshuman does, that's what you want to say.
But
so I'm giving the bechor ben bechor.
I was thinking about. Giving shir on
before.
Asima is doing before. And because we had so many conversations about before and your Kedusha on before. And the Bahag and before and over Shabbos, like most of my sperm are in Israel. So like I had somebody brought over sperm from the library and the Briz and that just the. And then as I was looking around, I saw that Rebbe wrote on this 10 years ago.
When we learned the Choros, I think.
Uh huh. So I'm like, okay, about that. I don't have anything to tell you new because. So now that I hear that you did it already, I'm like, okay, great. This is a good choice then. Oh my God. But that Bechor, that's amazing. That's an amazing Shivka.
Yeah,
okay.
This one, I think, is right.
Yeah. So, meaning in the anonymous Gon, it's Vade talking about the Yoresh being a Meshumad. In the Rif and the Rambam, it's also the Yoresh being a Meshumad, meaning just the Knas.
Right.
But remember what I was saying, in Rav Haigon, it's actually only the conversation is only about the Morish. It doesn't address the case of the. Of the Orish there, and maybe that's a chiluk. Actually, now that you say that, but so interesting because, wow, in the Otzer Gaonim, there's a variant of Rav Netran Haigon's tshuva is Rav Haigon, and I just assumed that it was a mistake. But actually, what Rebbe's saying is that he could have accepted the Yoresh and still not do the Mar. That's amazing.
Again, some of the Nebuchadnezzar, Zerakash.
That's great. Yeah.
Mavir.
Yeah.
Is not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's why I'm here. Okay. Unbelievable. So the Rif and the Rambam, as you see, if you look at the Rambam, Yisrael Sheh Nishtamed, actually is the right one. Yoresh is Krovav Yisraelim Kishahaya. Haminag tamid b'marav was not to give Yerusha to the Jew who was mishtamed or mitaslaim, and the Rambam explains it like the Rif, who I think is explaining it like the anonymous Gon, who I thought a second ago might have been explaining it like Rabbi, that that it's really just a knas. But a Yoresh fundamentally does inherit. A Yoresh fundamentally inherit. Okay, so that's the way it plays out in Sfarad, that a Yoresh would fundamentally inherit. In Ashkenaz, something amazing happens that maybe we'll wait to. I'll just point it to you. Maybe we'll have another time where we could get together if you want. If you look at 15 and 16 very quickly, page 15 and 16. So the Or Zeruah, Rav Yitzchak Mivina, quotes Heshev Hagaon Maor Hagola. Who's Gaon Maor Hagola? Say again. Rabbeinu Gershom. He quotes Rabbeinu Gershom, and then look the tshuva that he quotes. Kach harunu min hashamayim. Hamashumad einu yorish es abiv. My time. Kivin tishtame nafle mekdushas ein devu av lo mikri zare v'chul v'chul. Who's this, obviously, this tshuva really is from? From Netrunai. So if you look at the bottom, before the second underline, it says Gershom bar Yehuda zetzal. Okay, so what Rabbeinu Gershom did, and he did this a number of times, he read from the Trinai's tshuva, he agreed with it, and he wrote it. So they, in Ashkenaz, you know, already in the 10th century, they knew about Rav Netranai's tshuva, and they accepted it. Rabbeinu Gershom accepted it, that Meshumad would not inherit his father. And then we see that Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Asher Alevi, who's Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Asher Alevi? Okay, this is the Riva, who's really the first Baal Tosfot in Germany, you know, a Talmud of Rashi. Omar Shem Meshumad Yorishas Aviv, he says, no, Meshumad is Yorishas Aviv. He disagrees, and he shows, similar to somebody said, Mikoach Avram before, that Avram was the one who inherited, had Har Seir and all these lands. The Chen Kasav Mari Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Halevi, the Rabia. So there's a whole line of Ashkenaz, of German Rishonim, who accepted this who accepted the fact that, disagreeing with Rabbeinu Gershom, again, Rabbeinu Gershom accepted Rav Netronai that a Meshuma doesn't inherit, and then the Ashkenaz Rishonim said that he does inherit. And this continues down the line. It goes and the Rav Yah and Marama Rotenberg, the Mordechai, and the Rush, to the point when you get to the Rush, he rereads the tshuva. He doesn't even understand that you can even have the tshuva of Rav Netzer Nai.
If you look at the Rav Yah, because of the love of Rav Yah already,
yeah.
Kishen shulmorish lavanam ha'yorei shasav.
Meaning, both ways.
Yeah, but this is the kishen. I mean, the assumption is that that people agree already about the morish part.
Uh-huh. Meaning, even after, you're saying even.
I think that's what it means. Meaning.
Even the Rav Netronai, meaning the. Even.
Just as, it's, and that's obviously more pasha.
Wow.
That you're Morish,
right.
So too you can be Yorish.
Meaning, they're assuming, even after Rabbeinu Gershom, quoting Rav Netronai, they're assuming that there's a.
Everybody
just about Yorish. That everybody agrees about Mar.
Or at least that it's easier to agree.
Right.
That, otherwise it'll be shame.
Okay. Amazing. Okay, and then the Rav Yah quotes, which is really the key point of Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael. And the reason why that's key is really what happened in the story is Rashi. Rashi happened. And, you know, you look, he already quotes Rashi, but I'll just tell you outside. Rashi, I have it in 16. Rashi consistently has Meshumad as like Yisrael, a dinim like Yisrael, because Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, which itself, of course, is an extension of the principle. Obviously, the Gemara, when it's talking about Achan, wasn't meaning Meshumad as Rashi was talking about. But he extends the concept to any time Yisrael sins, he's still considered Yisrael. And Rashi, you know, I think in every area, where there's a question, if I remember correctly, every area where there's a question comes out to the side that a Meshumad has the status of a Yisrael. And if you think about it in the context, I mean, Rabbeinu Gershom was Koveh. Rabbeinu Gershom said, Meshumad doesn't inherit. And just to highlight the point, by the way, actually, now that if you look at source number 4 and page 17, the Rush quotes, Hinei kasav Rabbeinu Yehuda HaKohen b'sefer ha'dinim tshuva achad l'rabbana Meshulam ben Rabbeinu Kolonimus shemuchlof eno yoresh as aviv v'zeh l'shono ki muchlof lo ikri zari v'lo yored le'ilavua ki l'chsiv v'yod l'cha l'elokim u'zarecha achrecha l'chsiv. Then he quotes, it's the whole tshuva of Rav Netronai going, who is Rabbeinu Yehuda HaKohen b'sefer ha'dinim? So it's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Gershom. So it wasn't just Rabbeinu Gershom and his Talmud, who's writing to Rabbeinu Meshulam ben Kolonimus of Rome, were spreading Rav Netronai's tshuva. And then Rashi stopped it. That's basically what happened. Meaning Rav Netronai's tshuva was spreading and Rashi stopped it. And after Rashi and on, it became that the Meshumad isn't, Meshumad is able to be Yorish. Now, what is, you know, how to explain Rashi's position, that's a whole other shir, but obviously one of the points to keep in mind, as somebody mentioned, is the difference between, like, what's the image of the Meshumad that you're talking about? You know, so one difference is, people mentioned perhaps the difference between Christianity and Islam. Another difference could be Anus, like why they're converting. Like, who is the Meshumad that Rashi is talking about? Or, you know, there's a lot to think about when it gets to the history of the of how Meshumad as a concept was understood, and in what case that they were, you know, they were putting in focus. But I wanted to get back to Rav Netronai, because he, you know, before Rav Saj, before the Shela to Rav Hai, he, to me, is one of the first who really deals with the duality of what a Meshumad is. If you look at source number 11, page number 11, I'm sorry. Okay, we're gonna like see we're coming to a close just by your faces. Who wants to read? Ugly yet, yeah. Keep on going. Here you see the other side. It's the same Rav Netzer. On the one hand, when it comes to Yerusha, he talks about Yatza Mikdusha Yisrael Kedusha Davua Zera Mityaches Lavia. On the other side, he's clear. It's Kedushin. It's good get. He doesn't need to be Mitgayer back if he does tshuva. It's a great phrase when he says Shekol Mishon Those who get understand Big Gayusan. That's just itself is a great phrase. As a guy, he's able to give his the get. And what you see in Rav Netzer and I is the really fundamental questions about Meshumat and what his status is. Meaning, as was asked before, is he like a guy? Is he Yisrael? And as Rav Netzer I mentioned before, is for what? For what? And here you see like a really nuanced, fundamental issue at play. Because these are two fundamental issues, and that's really why I mentioned this, I bring this shiur as a hakdama to Yerusha. Because it's not just a mamonos issue of hefker bez din hefker. That would make everything easy. As we saw in the anonymous Gaon and the Rif and the Rambam, but there's really a fundamental question on areas of halacha. For Yerusha, it's chukas mishpat. Yerusha is not a technical issue. Cultures, legal systems, where you decide how Yerusha works is very much dependent on your values and what you're trying to get across. You know, I remember one of the, in my political philosophy classes, reading papers of philosophers who suggested there should not be a concept of Yerusha. It's not fair. Right? All the money that somebody makes should go to the state after they die. To equal out, you know, the opportunity. Why is it fair that somebody's born with a silver spoon? Right, these are value issues. There's huge lessons. You know, when it comes to areas of Yerusha in every single system. Certainly, by us, we talk about the Chukat Mishpat of Yerusha, highlights that it's not Dine Mamonos that you just could be Masnan, as you've learned. You know, and that it's complicated when it comes to Yerusha. Because there's something at stake when it comes to Yerusha. And it's very much what Rav Netzer is getting at and why these drushos are emerging from whether it's halachic concepts or the whole hashkafa of the Torah, which is nachala, isn't just about mama. It's about continuity and mishpacha and shame. Right? It's all, everything you see about nachala, you know, even when it starts, b'no slavcha, what are they saying? Lama yigarash shame avinu. What does that do with shame? You know, or yibum of the shame hames. Because so much of Yerusha is about continuity. It's about family. It's about being part of something greater. You know, and in what sense is a mishumad? Can he be considered as part of that chain? And that was really something that was a diyun here. You know, he hasn't lost his Kedushas Yisrael, we know from other Gemaras, for Kedushin and for Gittin, and even that, you know, that's also a question of Lichtenstein talks about, based on an earlier Bahag, Itter, and others, whether the rubber band can stretch so far that it breaks. That's a much bigger, you know, another big question. But here, when it comes to Yerusha, which is why I'm talking about it, it really highlights the fundamental V'yatze Kedusha Davia, the Yichus, Zare, Mishpacha, Uma Lu'uma. There are greater stakes. There are greater stakes involved. You know, and just to put it in a little bit of the language that we speak about in yeshiva and that you see now on walls across buildings is that you know, we are part of the greatest story in history, right? The Am Skula, that with our Torah Emet deeply roots us in our past. You know, and I speak about YU to non-Jews, I often get stopped and they ask me, why do you keep on talking about Yeshiva University like it's a 3,000-year-old school? It's because we start, Yeshiva University starts at when Moses received the Torah at Har Sinai, at Sinai. That's the beginning. And we are continuing that tradition. That's the beginning. It's Torah Emet. It's rooted in the beginning. And our goal is Tzion, is redemption, is Gula. And we are part of that story. And we're our whole identity. You have to see us as not, you're not looking at me as an individual. You're seeing a whole, deeply rooted and forward focused. Like, we're part of this continuum. That's who we are. And I'll tell you, it's extraordinary. If you position yourself that way, the stability that you have. You know, I've learned, as opposed to when I was in Shira, remember, Rosenzweig wouldn't like catchphrases, you know, or sound bites. But I've seen, it's hard to have people remember, like, more than one sentence. So when I talk about, like, at COVID, we didn't have a map, but we always had a compass. You know, I was just telling you, that, like, people... I was just talking to our auditors. And they're like, how'd you do in COVID? I said, listen, we were the first people hit. There was no map. But we had a compass. So we came in with a different sense of stability. Like, we're always going to act according to our values. So we weren't as blown. You know, as Chazal talk about, when you have deep roots, you know, the tempests of times won't blow you away. You know, we have the compass. So, it changes your trajectory when you put yourself in that, when you think about that, as part of this continuum, Emes on the one hand, Tzion on the other, and your job as part of it is to move the story forward. But at the same time, Torat Adam, your Tzelem Elokim, you are a person with your own unique skills, talents, abilities, and definition of who you are as individuals. And what you see by Yerusha, because Yerusha is all about the continuity. Yerusha is all about continuing shame. It's all about nachala in the greater sense. It's all about mishpacha. And that, and then your name. You know, I just signed, just 2 days ago, I signed Klafen for the Musmachim, I guess it's the next Chag HaSmicha. And I wrote my name, Aryeh Ben Tuvia. And I just thought to myself, I thought, wow, I'm bringing my father into this. My father's here. Like, it's not, you know, I miss my father. My father lives in Israel. You know, but I'm bringing, he's part of this. Because that's who I am. I'm Aryeh Ben Tuvia. I'm not Aryeh. I'm Aryeh Ben Tuvia. That's what's written. You know, and that's nachla. That's shame. That's who you are. That's your roots. You know, and that's where you're going. And your kids will take your name. That's where you're going. You're all part of this. But you're also an individual. And can you break that? Is there a place where you can go where that actually, you're not part of that change anymore? You know, you switch to another monotheistic religion. You know, you have Kedushas Yisrael in the sense that Kedusha is some legal status. But Rabbi Etranai's point of Yerusha's Mityaches La'aviyah, that's Yerusha. It's Dafki Yerusha. It's all Yerusha. So, you know, there could be intention. The Torah Adam, the individual, and the deeply rooted forward focus. You know, and all of this are, and that's what we need, you know. Poskim, you know, Bali Machshava, we continue to wrestle with. And especially in our age, it's amazing, in this period, where, you know, we live in a time where people don't see themselves as part of past and future, where they define themselves by the moment. The moment, their definition changes. You know, not even beforehand and then afterwards. You know, so this is really, all these are fundamental issues where the values of the Torah, you know, inform and have to inform. Obviously, they'll inform your lives, but everything that, you know, that we emanate. And it's a area, Yerusha, that the world needs to hear more about. How we balance this being part of a spectrum with the individual. You know, and how it guides our actions, you know, as individuals with our talents and skills, but thinking of ourselves with a greater mission and greater purpose. You know, and that's all the lessons that emerge from learning Yesh Ochel. So, you know, I add this to your Hakdama Shirim. I'm happy at a later time, if you want, we can have a whole semester's worth of Shirim on Meshumad and all the different variations. I will first need to confer with Rabbi Rosenzweig more, and we'll be going to talk more about the difference in Marish and Yarish. So fascinating. I think it's such a chus to be sitting here. I mean, such a chus to be sitting here. And really, it's a pleasure and joy. You know, when I speak to you, I know that we really are, you know, truly speaking to people who are being Malay Preso with the Bayis, the Bayi Barava. We'll be going out into the world and making an impact in the Jewish people and our broader society, really, literally, the leaders of tomorrow. And it's just, it's a gift and a bracha to be here with you. I look forward to many more occasions as we start this wonderful tradition, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much.
My daughter just got
here. Oh my gosh.